He's on the throne. And according to my watch, it's about 12 or about 11:30. About 11:30. Whew. Don't dare mention the 12 word in Sunday morning. So we may go into overtime this morning. But anytime a ball game goes into overtime, it's a cause for cheer, a cause for joy. And I think Shirley Church is probably somewhere at least near as close to being exciting as a ball game. Turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You're familiar with it. Many of you don't even have to turn there to know what this scripture says, but I want to preach this morning about God's providence. The providence of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. I want to talk about the promise and the pressure and the proof. The promise, the pressure, the proof. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I ask today that you will do what no other power can do. I pray that you will take your word now and may it become food to our hungry souls, and may it, O Lord, accomplish that whereunto you send it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I asked the other day how someone was doing, and I shouldn't have. They told me I've got my back to the wall, my ear to the ground, my shoulder to the wheel, my nose to the grindstone, my head is level, my upper lip is stiff, and my feet are on the ground. Besides that, I'm late for my appointment at the chiropractor's. Difficult times we live in. Do you ever notice? A lot of unanswered questions, a lot of turmoil, a lot of unrest. God has some good news for us. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The promises are there. There are plenty. There are a multitude of promises. The psalmist said, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and live therein. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Jesus said, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can somebody say amen? We serve a God this morning who has on occasion used some rather unorthodox measures to take care of things. He one time used a serpent hanging on a pole to bring healing to a nation. He has opened a jailhouse without keys. He one time used a prostitute to bring revival to Samaria. Once in the Old Testament, he used a fish to swallow a man. And in the New Testament, he caused 5,000 people to swallow one little boy's fish. pretty good trick. You ever tried it? God is a God of promises. He's a God who's able. We need to believe him more. We need to trust him more. I can promise you this, I can sing 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus much easier than I can trust in Jesus. We're like the little girl who decided to write a letter to a missionary. Her whole Sunday school class had that for a project. And evidently their teacher had told them that missionaries are extremely busy and might not have time to answer their letters. So this little girl wrote the letter and the missionary received it and it read, "Dear Reverend Smith, we are praying for you. We are not expecting an answer." We're like the guy in Alaska one time that was talking to a priest and he said, "Hey, Father, you got it all wrong about this God stuff. He doesn't exist. I ought to know." And the priest said, "Well, my son, why is that?" He said, "Well, I was ice fishing in the Arctic, far from the nearest village. A blizzard blew up with wind and blinding snow. I was a goner and I knew it. So I got on my knees and I prayed real hard, begging God for help." The priest said, "Well, did he help you?" He said, "Lands, no. God didn't lift a finger. Some Eskimo appeared out of nowhere and showed me how to get out of here." The promises. God says, "I am going to supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But you know, every promise is tested. Every promise that God makes comes under the pressure of testing. Your faith is going to be tested. Gideon's was. Consider his plight. He was already outnumbered, had gathered quite a sizable army, over 20,000 men, and God said, "It's too many. I want to trim it down to size." Well, by the time they got through with the thing, it's only about 300 men. That's a test of your faith. Elijah was tested, depending on a little widow woman. Besides all that, that widow woman's meal barrel was at the point of being empty. If you think Elijah's faith was tested, what about the widow woman's faith? When a preacher comes to town and says, "Fix me a cake first," there's only enough for one cake. Faith will be tested. Can you say amen? We're often asked to do what makes no sense. We're often asked to give what we seem to need so badly. We're often asked to go to undesirable places and to say what we feel like would be better left unsaid. God always tests our faith. And when God gave Abraham a promise of a child, and when God said, "I'm going to make your seed to become as numerous as the sands of the sea and as the stars in the sky for multitude," if I had have made that promise to Abraham, I would have started him out with about 150 wives and about 1,000 kids. Bible said Abraham was a friend of God. Bible said that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God does things rather funny, doesn't he? Abraham tried it his way. We today have the Arab-Israeli conflict as a problem because of Abram's self-will. But God changed his name to Abraham. And when Sarah was past age to conceive, God miraculously gave him one son, and then turned around and asked for him back. That's God for you. Faith will be tested. Calvin Miller is one of my favorite preachers. Calvin Miller is a Calvinist. Really, he is. But I like him. That was pretty bad, wasn't it? Just do right like that. Thank you. Calvin Miller wrote about this, and you gotta listen. He wrote and called it the peekaboo surprise. One night, old Sarah looked out at the trees and swallowed her last fig cakes and cheese and broke into tears, wailing six dreary knees. I'm so very unhappy. Abraham, please, would you pray and ask God if maybe, just maybe, he'd answer our prayers and give us a baby? Now, honey, said Abraham, don't make a fuss. In April, you're going to be 70 plus. You're getting so old that you barely can hold your plate or your bowl or your saucer or cup. It takes you an hour sometimes to stand up. Forget about babies. I'll buy you a pup. Anyway, why do you want a new baby? Maybe, just maybe, I'd like to sing softly, sweet rockabye baby. Mama loves snookums, kitch, kitch, kitchy coo. Patty cake, peek, peekaboo. Please. And I want a sweet little baby to coo, boo, gurgledy boo, bee, ba, na, gurgle, goo, gurgle, goo, goo. Can't believe I'm doing this. Then God sent an angel with bright shiny hair who came down and cried, hey Abe, are you there? I must tell you true. God's going to create a great nation from you. Abe scratched his head and looked rather blue. You'd best hurry up. My life's nearly through. I'm as old as the hills and my Sarah is too. Oh yes, said the angel. Now listen to me. Your grandkids will be like the sands of the sea, far, far too many to bounce on your knee. Yea, argued Abe. Just how can that be? I'll sure have to bounce them on bony old knees. Besides, my sweet Sarah is all wrinkled up. She sleeps every night with her teeth in a cup. I'll tell you, the woman is baby-proof now. She's old, I say old. Her joints have grown cold. And if she had a baby, then what would I do? Play little league ball at 102? The angel just smiled. He started to leave and then turned to speak. Tell Sarah to check with her doctor next week. When the angel had gone, Sarah saw her physician, a Mesopotamian, an old obstetrician, and said to him, doctor, I've been feeling dizzy. The doctor turned white and then fainted away, and when he revived, he said, my, what a day. Sarah, believe me, you're not going to die, but you'll have a baby the 8th of July. Old Sarah stood gasping with nothing to say. She too clapped her forehead and fainted away. And when she got up, she ended her stress and bought a Chaldean maternity dress. And months hurried by, and at last came July, and Sarah and Abe sang Rockabye Baby. Mommy loves snookums, kitch, kitch, kitchy coo. Patty cake, peek, peek-a-boo. And sure enough, little Isaac said, gurgledy-boo, bee-ba-na, gurgle-goo, gurgle-goo-goo. And thank God I'm through. Faith will be tested. It will be brought under pressure. Can you say amen? But thank God, I'm glad that God comes through. I'm glad God is true to his word. What he said, you can count on. Let God be true. If every man be a liar, let God be true. Read about a little boy that was riding on a train with his mother when the train unexpectedly entered a dark tunnel. And after a while, the train emerged from the darkness and the sun was shining, and the little boy exclaimed, mother, it's tomorrow. That's about the way our trials go. We go through dark times, but eventually the sun shines again. Eventually God moves in a special way and the needs are met. There's one very important thing that you and I need to realize when talking about God providing, and that is God has a time for all things. Do you realize that now is just as rebellious a word as no? To demand now law of God is as disobedient as saying no to God. God has a time for everything, a perfect schedule. He's never too early and he's never too late. And I believe that the when of God's will includes submission to his schedule. And the when of God's will is just as important as the what and the how of his will. If you believe that, say amen. God's timetable. God's timetable. And if I read the scriptures correct, God's provision is not tied to the local or the global economy. God can make a way where there seemeth to be no way. His promises are true. God is faithful. He is so very faithful. And Habakkuk reminds us of this in the third chapter in the 17th and 18th verses when he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. This past week, my heart was extremely troubled. It's troubling watching the news. It's troubling to know that every Sunday morning I'm going to be called upon to get up with the word from the Lord for people. And I want to confess to you, I wasn't even looking for this. But it liked to slap me out of my chair when I found it, or when it found me. Lord, the people of Grand Assembly are hurting. Some of them are in trouble. Some of them are grappling with things they don't have any answers for. Lord, the world is falling apart around us. Everything that we held sacred is being held up to ridicule and outright slander and attacked by the anti-God forces of this world. Little by little, things we hold dear are eroding. It is no mystery to me that the first question the disciples had for Jesus when he said he was going to pour out the Holy Ghost was the question, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is just as natural a question as it can be. The first thing that crossed their mind when God said, I'm going to send another comforter, the power of the Holy Ghost, they said, Lord, will this fix our country? It was in that frame of mind the other day that I was reading, actually searching on another topic I was doing some writing about. And I come to the third chapter of Isaiah, and I know Isaiah was describing Judah. I know he was describing a situation that existed centuries ago, but he might just as well have been writing about the U.S. of A. in the third chapter of Isaiah. When he says, going to take away the whole stay, the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water. The mighty man, the man of war, the prudent man, the captains of 50s, the honorable men, this is the third chapter of Isaiah, I'm going to take them all away. I'm going to take away the prophet. I'm going to take away the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator. I'm going to give them children to be their princes. Babies shall rule over them. People shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. A child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, a base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother, of his house, of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, he's going to say, I want no part of it. And if we aren't seeing that today, we've got capable men that could run this government, but nobody wants anything to do with the mess because they know what a mess it is. They're saying, leave me alone, I want out of it. That's why David Boren's in Norman, president of OU, instead of in the Senate. Exactly it. Got sick of the mess. Verse 8, Jerusalem is ruined. Judah's fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And then, verse 10. The support systems have been knocked out. The social chaos as neighbors oppress neighbors. Those capable of governing refuse to do so. Open rebellion as the sin of Sodom. And then verse 10. Incidentally, God says, Isaiah, say you to the righteous, tell the righteous that it shall be well with him. You didn't take that like I took it when I found it. Are you not righteous? Tell the righteous it's going to be all right with them. Styles and customs and mannerisms and political parties and ideologies and philosophies and fads will come and go, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you one thing that never changes. It never does wrong to do right. It's never wrong to live for God. It's never wrong to live according to the Word of God. It's never a bad thing. God says He's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All of our needs. I really don't know what all that means. I don't know what it means to me, I don't know what it means to you. But let me tell you a true story in closing this morning that talks about the providence of God. Providence of God is a wonderful thing. God said He's going to take care of us. He said He's going to take care of His people. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. I'd rather have Him taking care of me than anybody. He knows what I need more than anybody else. Every once in a while, He just lets us know that He knows what we need. Sometimes it's in a very graphic way. Sometimes it's in little, small ways. Sometimes nobody but us and God knows about it, and we wouldn't tell anybody if we had to, because it's so personal. So real and so intimate between you and the Heavenly Father. I talked with a pastor the other day that shared with me that when he and his wife were in their 30s and had small children at home, and after they had worked for several years at a good job with good security for the future, that God called them into the ministry. And he said, I quit my job. We moved to the state of Missouri. And we enrolled in a Bible college in Springfield, Missouri. Times were tough. He said, 1 week, I remember that all we had to eat that week was biscuits and water gravy. That was it. The whole week long. We said, you know, God bless those things, and I still eat biscuits and gravy today. I still like them. He said one day he had come in from one of his classes and his wife had made out a grocery list. Just a few meager necessities. And at the bottom of that grocery list, she had written Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, when I saw that grocery list, I took out my pencil, and I added to her list the words peanut butter and honey. She gave him a rebuking look and said, those aren't necessities, those are luxuries. He said, I know they're not necessities, but that is the desire of my heart. Well, she went shopping and she bought her little list full of groceries, but the next day, somebody out of the clear blue, somebody came to their little apartment and had two sacks of groceries. After they left, trembling hands tore open the top of one of those sacks and plunged down in and grabbed a hold of a quart jar of honey fresh out of the hive. Guess what was in the other sack? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. I won't tell, I don't know who this is for, but let me tell you, God doesn't mind you having some nice things. I want you to understand that God does not mind you having a few things in this world if you put him first, if you'll delight in him. He'll meet your needs, and every once in a while, he'll throw in a bonus. Won't he? Did he promise in his word that he would? I said, did he promise in his word that he would? Is God true? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God cross the Red Sea on dry land? Can God take a little boy's sack lunch and feed multitudes? Can God open the eyes of the blind? Can God open the ears of the deaf? Can God heal the leper? Can God raise the dead? Can God do what he said? Is he God? Is he God? Glory to God. My God. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will. Yes, he will. My mother and I had eaten all the groceries. Cupboards were bare, not anything at all in the icebox. I didn't learn faith by reading the latest faith book or listening to the latest faith tape. I learned faith by staring into an empty cabinet and an empty icebox. And watching a little mother who had worked all day long in a help-yourself laundry with sweat pouring off her face get down on her knees and tell God that there wasn't anything in the cabinets or in the icebox. It was summertime. The old torn screen door rattled. We had hardly got through praying when the thing rattled. And it was Granny Phipps, our next door neighbor. And she had a sack in each hand. And she said, Miss Hatfield, we were just cleaning out our deep freeze. And this stuff is all good. But we just kind of wondered if maybe you and Larry might like to have some of this steak. Can I tell you that up until that time, I thought steak was something you tied a cow to? And she said, I got some more. I have to go across the street and get it. But we ate steak at the Hatfield household that night. Because my God can. My God can. Oh, God.
I wish I possessed the vocabulary. I wish I possessed the dynamics to stand here and say it in such a way that you could grab a hold of it, that God is not going to let your ship sink. God is not going to let one word of his promise fall to the ground. What he has promised to you, he's going to perform it. He's going to make a way.
Even where there seemeth to be no way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. I ask you today in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to move by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost and confirm your word with signs following. I pray that in hearts today will be rekindled. A flame of hope and a flame of trust and faith. That which has flickered and almost died out will blaze again. God, let somebody leave this room today with an assurance in their heart that everything is all right. Lord, everything may be failing us, all around us may be in failure, but God, say ye to the righteous that it will be well with them. Lord, if I ever did receive a word from the Lord to give to a congregation, it was this week when you showed me that. I've given it to them. May they open their hearts and receive it. Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to make an altar call. And yes, some of you are going to have to swallow a little pride to respond to this altar call. Now, I'm not trying to make a public spectacle out of you nor embarrass you. I would not do that. I'm not up here to embarrass anybody. Some of you today in this room are facing material, financial, physical needs. You're responsible for some people. You're responsible for yourself and your household. And you're facing some needs today that, very frankly, you don't know how in the world they're going to get met. And by faith, you're going to humble yourself today, and you're going to walk up here, and you're going to stand. And let a congregation gather around you and lay hands on you and pray in your behalf for God to move by the Holy Spirit. Helen, would you come up here and stand with me, please? Just stand right here at the head of this altar. And I'd like to ask the congregation to stand all over this auditorium. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Michelle, would you about come up here to one of these microphones and sing that while I finish this invitation? You're here today, and you've got a need, and you're willing to come down and stand and let this body of believers gather around you in just a few moments to share that need in prayer with you. I want you to do so right now. Just step out in the aisle and come down and stand in front of one of these altars. You know what the need is. God is able to supply all of our needs. You're coming in faith believing. You're coming in faith believing. You're coming in faith believing. A number of you are responding. God love your hearts. God bless you. Precious people. Just stand in front of the altar and face this way. Face the platform area. Amen. These are your friends. Lance, I want you to step down that way. I want you guys to spread out up and down this altar area. Sister Hammond, step down this way. Leave some space in between different ones. Step down that way. Just spread this line out. Brother Metz, step down that way. Let's spread this line out.
where we can get around you. Brother Howard, you guys spread out. There we go. That's good. These are your friends. Come. Please come. Come.